goes goes far deeper to things that endure. He honors the man who keeps his heart pure.
For the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. We have no secrets that our God does not know. Our Father knows our thoughts, He understands every part. Man sees the outside, but God sees the heart. Our Father knows our thoughts, He understands every part. Man sees the outside.
A blessing. We've had a wonderful music service tonight. Just a blessing from the choir song to the special, the instrumentalist there at the offertory to this song. I don't want to take that for granted. Thank you, folks who work with the music. It's been a blessing. I have enjoyed it immensely tonight. Isaiah 32. I'm going to give you just a moment to find that in your Bible. Book of Psalms, going to your right. You'll come to Proverbs, of course, and then a little bit further into the book of Isaiah, chapter 32. One verse here, I'll give you the context. One verse I'm going to refer to in Ecclesiastes, and we'll jump right in tonight. I know we're a little bit behind, but really it's Sunday night, so there's no time restraint, and we'll get right into this. Let's stand together, please, as we look at the Bible, beginning and only with verse number 20, the last verse of chapter 32. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. I want to preach tonight on the subject, room for one more. Room for one more. Father in heaven, thank you for what our hearts have already experienced tonight. It's so wonderful to know that you can speak to us through music that is wholesome and good and right. And Lord, I hope and trust pleasing to you. And then to hear our brother's testimony was thrilling. And now we come to your word, which is exalted above your own name. Would you help us to preach it tonight in truth and power? And may the Spirit of God have his way in our hearts and our church's life in this particular matter. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Every year at some point, I experience a brief moment of, and I'll go ahead and say, use this word, it's a little strong maybe, regret or anxiousness. And it's always over the same issue, the same matter. I look at the schedule and I think to myself, you've done it again. You've scheduled too many missionary guests to come to the church. I look at it and I probably grieve over it a little bit and wonder, how can I let this happen? And then I determine that next year, I'm going to get this under control. Yep, just like next year the Cubs won the World Series for 107 years. There is no need for us to have a missionary guest every month. And you've got to save some months for missionaries who are on furlough, missionaries we already support. And so it's settled. Stop. And then the phone rings. And then we get an email. And then I meet a missionary guest at a conference somewhere else, and this month gets a missionary guest, and then this month gets a missionary guest, and then the next month a missionary guest is scheduled, and then one of our missionaries that we already support, who's on furlough, hey, Brother Angel, we're home for a few weeks, a month, can we come by and support, report to the church? And, you know, by the way, folks, you'd be shocked how many furloughing missionaries are told by their supporting churches, you don't need to come by. I try to use common sense. I know the task that a furloughing missionary faces. He's got to come home, see his family, and on both sides, in our case with the kids, you got family in Oklahoma and family in Illinois. It'd be great if the families all lived here, so we're trying to get the fence to move to Oklahoma. I mean, to Illinois, amen. But anyway, and then they got to go see supporting churches, and they would like a little time for some R&R for themselves. They go back to their missionary works to get rested up from a furlough. It's the honest truth. It's just go, 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 go. And so I try to use common sense and tell the brother, you know, hey, look, man, you don't have to come, but if you're in the area and you want to come, we'd love to hear from you. In some cases, folks, we've been supporting missionaries for 12, 15 years, and by the time they get around to see us, you know, we haven't seen them in that long. And so, you know, it all adds up. And then the calendar gets like it has been here at the first of this year, where we've had several missionary guests come through in close proximity to each other. Wednesday, Sunday, Sunday, Wednesday. And you know that if you're faithful to the services, we've had several missionary guests this year already. It's March 18th. And then I read my Bible. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. And then I read Ecclesiastes 11 in verse number 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And I am reminded how important these men and women and families are. These missionary guests. Now, Isaiah 32 is one of those chapters that has a dual prophecy. It contains a near prophecy and a distant or far prophecy. If you mark your Bible with the messages that are preached here, you will see that back in September of last year, I preached from the same chapter. I preached a message called, It's a Good Time to Be a Liberal. Now, it's all about missionary giving. Now, it's a chapter that has two prophecies, a near prophecy and a distant prophecy, or a far prophecy. The near prophecy in chapter 32 is about Hezekiah's kingdom. Isaiah was the prophet during the reign of Hezekiah. And it was a prosperous reign. The distant prophecy is about the time when the Jewish people would return from captivity in Babylon and begin to rebuild their land. And I'm not going to go into that. I've talked to you about that before. Now, the end of the chapter applies to both the near prophecy and the distant prophecy, but it applies especially to the liberal, generous Jewish people who would help to restore and rebuild Israel's economy and productivity. When they got back from Babylon, the place was wasted. Wasted. We talked about that. Okay? You let land go untended for 70 years, what are you going to have? Just a bunch of nothing. Okay? So these men came back, they were industrious, they were hardworking, they were men who sought to plant. And God said, blessed is the industrious, hardworking man who seeks to plant and sow beside all waters, all the well-watered plains of Israel. Remember, Lot raised his eyes and looked upon the well-watered plains of Jordan. Land that was fertile. And the man said, God said, blessed is the man who throws his seed liberally, who throws his seed generously. He's seeking a harvest to help feed the people. And in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, cast thy bread upon the waters. In other words, the farmer grows what's called bread corn. What's bread corn? Bread corn is corn that which is going to be used to make bread for his family. It's going to be used to maybe sell. Maybe it's going to be used to make bread for others. It's called bread corn. It's food that they're going to eat. And so Solomon says, you take some of that which is for bread corn, and you turn it into seed corn. You sow it and you plant it beside all waters. And Solomon said, it'll come back to you. That's the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. So that's the interpretation. The person being encouraged here, the person being challenged here, is not the one who has an us for and no more mentality. It's not the one who is for me, myself, and mine. That's not the one he's talking to. The person that's being encouraged here and challenged here is the one who wants to do something to help his own family, yes, But beyond that, He wants to be a help and a blessing to as many people as possible to grow food so that they can rebuild Israel's economy and their industry and be productive again. That's who God's talking about. Blessed is the man who sows beside all, or ye that sow beside all waters. Cast your bread upon the waters. In many days it will come to you again. Now, that's the interpretation, and I've hurried through it on purpose. But let me tell you, folks, it is completely legitimate to make application from this text to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sowing in the Bible is often symbolic of preaching or spreading the gospel. You know that. Jesus told the parable. The sower went out to sow. And he took the seed, and Jesus made it clear that the seed was what? The Word of God. Okay, so sowing is often symbolic of preaching or spreading the gospel. Waters in the Bible often are symbolic of multitudes of people. So you know what God, by application, is saying here? He is saying, get the gospel to all people and as many people as possible. Sow beside all waters. Now, all waters means those that are close by. Those right here in our own community. How many years has Faith Baptist Church attempted to be faithful to the command to sow beside all waters in this area? Well, the church will be 49 years old this June. And as far as I know, all 49 years, this church has tried to be faithful to sow beside all waters in this community. For 49 years. And we're still doing it. We don't have an endless population pool. What did you say? 4 million people in Durban. 4 million. We don't have an endless population pool like churches in some areas, but we do have people here. And folks, we have to, we must keep sowing beside all waters. Sowing to the rich, sowing to the poor, sowing to the middle class, door to door, bus ministry, jail, which they had 2 men saved last Friday night, VBS, new moves into town, co-workers, neighbors, people we know, people we meet on the street. There has been a man here twice in the last 3 weeks on Sunday who was saved on Tuesday afternoon, teenage soul winning, that was just approached by one of our young people, gospel presented, trusted Christ. Look, there are times of plenty when it comes to the harvest, and there are times of not so plenty when it comes to the harvest. And lately here at Faith Baptist Church, it's been a time of plenty. We've been reaping. You've been coming on Sunday night and praying. I tell you what, God's answering prayer. God's been giving us visitors. Have a guest visiting with us tonight. 4 people visiting this morning. Last Wednesday night guest. The previous Sunday night guest. Previous Sunday guest. I mean, God is just answering prayer. God is blessing. All waters means sowing in our community. All waters means those further away, starting in cities in Illinois where you and I don't live, and then spreading to the other states in our country, going to the North American continent, and ultimately, folks, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And much of that is accomplished by giving to help support families like this one who are already established or those who are going. It's also accomplished by sending some of our own to go. And I'll tell you what, I think without fail, especially every veteran missionary that's come through this pulpit this year, without fail, the plea has been, we need help. We need help. God's not going to send everybody, but I can't believe that God sends nobody. Are you praying? He asked tonight, with a heart full of compassion and love, I don't think a man just turns a switch and gets all choked up just by flipping a switch. I think what you heard tonight, what I heard tonight, was the result of a passion for reaching the people that God has given him to reach. That's how we do it. We sow beside all waters. Missions is still the heartbeat of God. Still the heartbeat of God. Listen again to the promise of Ecclesiastes 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That kind of sounds like a promise of provision, doesn't it? And in verse number 20, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. So I look at the calendar and I get anxious And I think to myself, what have you done? And oh no, the people are going, we're going to have another missionary guest, and we've already had so many, and they're crowded together. Terry, what in the world are you doing to the schedule? And then I come to these verses, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, cast your bread upon the waters. And I'm reminded, folks, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more. Always room for one more. Let me give you three things quickly to think about tonight. These people are important. Number one, they are important to the gospel message. Look, the right kind of missionary is important to the gospel message. There is such power in the gospel message. I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is power to change lives, to redeem lost souls, to birth a person into the family of God, to bring life to that which is dead in a person's spirit. That's power. But the power of that message is of no use unless it is taken to someone who needs it. And that's where these missionary families come in. The gospel has to be taken to people for it to do any good for them. You know, people ask, appreciate your questions about Dad. We're not the only family in this church that suffers with somebody who's in Alzheimer's. His wife's mother is in Alzheimer's down in El Paso, Texas. We were talking about this before the service tonight. Others of you have dealt with it. You know what? They tell you that there's no cure for it. Nothing can be done for it. I remember when I first mentioned to you that Dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, a brother in the church came to me and he just said, Pastor, he said, there's no cure for it. No cure. Now, you know what I would hate to find out? I would hate to find out down the road that somebody came up with a cure for Alzheimer's and just stuck it in a laboratory somewhere and did nothing to share it with anybody. In fact, I'd be mad. I'd be angry. And you got a 52-year-old man, a 52-year-old white man in South Africa who has to wait 52 years to hear the message of Christ? 52 years? 52 years? You got a Vietnamese man here that's meeting with Brother Allen on Sunday afternoons, and 2 weeks ago, Alan says, I'd like to have a Bible study. What's a Bible? You know what a Bible is? And here we got the news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and faith in that gospel message can set somebody free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, and thank God someday the very presence of sin, but it's no good unless somebody takes it. That's why the first two letters in the word gospel are G-O. Go. Jesus said go, 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 go. So these missionaries are important to the gospel message because they take it to people who need to hear it. Who need to hear it. Number two, they are important to the local church. They are important to the local church. Church, we have a command. Faith Baptist Church has a command. We are supposed to take the command personally, and that is we are to be witnesses for God both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And that little word both is an incredibly important word because it means all at the same time. You don't get Jerusalem converted and then go to all Judea. Get it converted and then go to Samaria. Get it converted and then go to the uttermost part of the earth. You start in Jerusalem and you stay there. Then you branch out to all Judea while you're in Jerusalem. And then you branch out to Samaria while you're in Judea and Jerusalem. And then you branch out to the uttermost. And you do all four at the same time. That's a command. It's not an option. That's a command of Christ. Get it out there. Church. That's us. That's our church. We have to take it personally to get the gospel to the world. And I know there's some men preaching that, you know, this means you really got to start in Jerusalem, physical Jerusalem. I'm not going to get into arguing all that tonight. I don't care how you interpret it, folks. You read Acts 1:8, you get a clear fact out of that verse. We're supposed to take the gospel to the world. I don't care where you start. Supposed to take it to the world. There, this is our command. It's our responsibility. Sow it. Sow beside all waters. The missionary families go and they help us. They help us sow beside all waters. I thought, you know, I should take a minute to count up how many different places Faith Baptist Church has a missionary representative. I'm talking about places, physical places around the globe. I haven't taken the time to count those countries. I know that we're just real soon here. Real soon, we're going to have a missionary voice. Well, real soon, we're going to have a missionary voice in Cape Verde. Real soon. I mean, I don't think I'd ever even heard of Cape Verde until Brother Fritz came through here. Off the west coast of Africa. Got a picture of it right there where he's going. Off the west coast of Africa there, the Cape Verde Islands. And real soon, our church is going to have a voice in Cape Verde. There's always room for one more. Always room for one more. We're sowing in many, many places, and that's important for us folks to fulfill the Lord's command. But it's also important for us if we desire God's blessing. Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye. People, listen, there have been years where we saw a decrease in the general fund giving at Faith Baptist Church. There have been years of lean, and there have been years of fatness when it comes to the general fund offerings in this church. There have been years like 2017 when we met with the people from the bank and looked at the figures from 16 where our general fund offering was off by several thousand dollars. Missions was up. Every year, missions has increased. One year it increased $500. That's less than 10 bucks a week. But it increased. And people, I'm here to tell you that the financial health of this church, I believe with all of my heart, is because the people of this church have been obedient and caught the vision that we need men like this and men like Brother Fritz and men like others that have gone from here with the gospel message, and God has favored our church financially. And, you know, we're within maybe just a couple years, even less than 2 years, of being completely debt-free with these facilities. And there's no rhyme or reason for it other than when you cast your bread upon all on the waters, you'll find it again. God blesses those who sow beside all waters. He blesses. And our missions giving has never decreased. And it just amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. Last year, the biggest year we ever had in missions giving. Last year. And this year, it was kind of a rough start to the beginning of the year in January and February, like I told you, because of weather-related issues on Sundays and so forth. But man, it's been picking up in the month of March, and it's just been a blessing to see people give and give and give and give faithfully to missions. And I believe with all of my heart that we have reaped God's blessings because of that. There's room for one more. There's room for one more. I thought about this. I thought about problems. Problems are a part of a church's existence. There's going to be problems between members. There's going to be problems between pastor and members. There's going to be disputes that arise. There are going to be disagreements that come. And you know, I've always thought a church has to look at the big picture. And do you realize, folks, how we respond to problems that arise within this local New Testament church could have a direct impact on those who are on the front lines spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? You understand that? You understand how many missionaries are dependent on us and our support, not just financially, but prayerfully? And you got to look beyond the possible disputes and the possible disagreements and understand, you know what? That oftentimes those things are so minute. They're so small in the big picture of getting the gospel to the world. They're so minute compared to spreading, sowing beside all waters. When a church really has its eyes on missions and the need to take the gospel, problems just kind of have a way of dissolving for the better good of the ministry and the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart, they are important to the gospel message. They are important to the local church. And let me say last of all tonight, and I've hurried through this, that they are important to eternity. To eternity. Listen very carefully without turning to it. If you'd like to write Scripture down, Proverbs 30, 15 and 16. Interesting verses in the book of Proverbs. It tells us that there are four things on earth that say not, it is enough. There are four things that never say it's enough. You know what the last thing that never says it's enough is? The fire that saith not, it is enough. And you know, folks, there's always room in hell for one more soul. Always room in hell for one more soul. Always. So you know what? The missionary goes, takes the gospel message to a 52-year-old man who's never heard it before, and a brand is plucked from the burning. Because the missionary went. And eternity is impacted. So I get to thinking, since there's always room for one more in hell, there should always be room for one more missionary here. Always. So when the schedule gets a little crowded, the pastor stands up here and says, folks, I know we just had Brother so-and-so come through. Brother Carter was here. It's been 40 years in Japan. And we got missionary. Brother Lallman's son is going back to China, and so he's coming in on Wednesday. And then, oh, by the way, Brother Demarest is coming. He's going to be in the States for 7 days and wants to see Mike and Jana and coming through. And there's always room for one more. Always room for one more. Because blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight to this simple message. Father, I pray that You'll use the testimony of our brother tonight and the brief message from Your Word to challenge our hearts. I thank You for the people of this church that are invested in giving to missions. And God, I know many of them could stand and give testimony tonight that in the process of sowing beside all waters, they have seen it return to them over and over again. And they feel like their lives are blessed because they sow beside waters, giving to missions. Our church is blessed because You've allowed us to have this ministry. God, please, I pray that You'll help us not to get weary of these brothers, these sisters, these men, these women, these families that have given their lives to go to distant places, make that their home, share the Word of God, the gospel message with 52-year-old men who've never heard. May we continue to sow beside the waters here in the Kankakee River Valley area and beyond. May we be faithful to the command of Christ. And God, just increase the burden of our church for missions and the idea of printing Bibles in a language where there probably are not many and getting the Scripture out and seeing Bible Institute started, the training of men and the starting of more churches and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. Beside all waters. Oh, God, bless our church to be faithful at it. May we get the vision of it. May we enjoy it and be blessed by it. Thank You for the privilege to be involved in Your work this way. Bless this church. Bless our people. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask tonight, do you know for sure that you're saved? You heard Brother Demarest give the testimony about showing that 52-year-old man how to be saved. Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Has there been a time in your life when you were born again into God's family? If you're not sure that you're saved, somebody can take the Bible here and show you tonight how to trust Christ as your Savior. Be saved. Are you giving to missions? Be faithful, folks. Ask God to provide. He will. And if you've never started, jump in. And then the final question tonight, are you surrendered? Are you surrendered to go? You hear a man stand with passion, with emotion in his voice and say, we need help. Are you surrendered to go? Are you available if God says, I want you? Here am I. Send me. There's always room for one more. One more missionary guest. One more missionary to be sent from our church. One more missionary to be supported. One more soul to be saved. Plucked from the burning. From the fire that never says it's enough. God help us. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the ladies play song of invitation, you obey the Lord tonight while we wait. I asked the Lord what to preach tonight, earlier this week when I knew I was going to be here. Now, I want you to preach on missions. I want you to remind Faith Baptist Church how important missions is to us, to the gospel message, to people around the world, to eternity. Let's sow beside all waters. Let's be faithful. Come join us on Tuesdays or Saturdays. Take the Word of God out and cast it beside the waters of this area. God help us tonight.